Quad Squad. Doors at 5 p.m., skates hit the track at 6 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online at madisonrollerderby.org/tickets or at the door. The final home game of the 2024 Madison Roller Derby season is on Saturday, April 6th in the arena at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Supporting community nonprofits since 1975, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison, listener-sponsored community radio.
You are listening to WRT FM Madison. It's Wednesday night, and this is Query. Hello and welcome. We're going to get a little witchy tonight, so I thought we'd have a little Stevie Nicks bring us in. I am Greg Potter. I'm your host this evening. I am a local entrepreneur, speaker, facilitator, and the executive director of the International Institute on Collaboration. We have just launched our 2024 collaboration cohort, and if you are interested at all in taking a 6-month journey on becoming a better collaborator, look me up at Gigi Potter on all the socials, and I would love to share more about you. So, Wednesday, it's Query. There's been a lot going on in Madison. We just got a fluke April snowstorm, and I think it brought a little bit of magic with it. This weekend, March 31st, was Transgender Day of Visibility. There was a lot going on here in Madison. On Friday, I had the luxury to go to Alder Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford's show over at the Crucible. Packed house. It was so fantastic. We had Sarah Godlewski and April Kagea join us afterwards for a panel discussion. And so much brilliance was talked about. It was just really, really, really magical. And congratulations to April Kagea. Elections were yesterday. So lots of things going on. Also, I want to shout out over to Erica and Jessica over at Giant Jones Brewery. They had a fantastic weekend of events for Transgender Day of Visibility. And I hope you got over there. I hope you were able to check out some of the great things and support the transgender people in your life. And just love up on them. Just love, love, love up on them. April, there's a lot of things going on this month. And thanks to Open, they listed a bunch of really wonderful things happening. So if you follow them on social media, fantastic. If you don't, I highly recommend going on to Instagram, Facebook, and following them. But the post today, and I'm just going to go through the list of things. April 6th. On Saturday is International Asexual Day. April 10th is National Youth HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. April 18th is National Transgender HIV Testing Day. And it's also Non-Binary Parents Day. And on April 26th is Lesbian Visibility Day. I mean, I really wish I had a lesbian in the studio with me right now because we would talk about what we do. Are we going to wear a bunch of flannel? Are we going to, I'm just pulling all the stereotypes out. But let's get the lesbians visible on April 26th and every other day, as well as every other letter in the acronym. So in the news, lots have been going on. If you haven't heard, Governor Tony Evers, thank you. He rejected the bill proposal that was going to block transgender student athletes from competing in sports consistent with their gender identity. Huge applause to you, Governor Evers. Thank you for showing up for us. Thank you for seeing what the need is. And also thank you for just helping to continue creating a space of equity as we all work through our lives and become better human beings. some things were going on in Idaho yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but at the state capitol, they dropped 48,000 paper hearts. It's quite beautiful. I suggest going and Googling it and looking at it. It was a peaceful protest in regard against all of the bills that have been put into place, voted on, and thrown at the citizens of Idaho. And so what they did was, 12,000 people from 13 cities showed up with 48,000 handmade paper hearts. It was gorgeous. So yeah, I'd highly recommend going to check that out. And another thing that came up that I noticed was a new survey. NBC News reported this and CNN. A new survey was conducted that released a report that 1 in 3 LGBTQ adults say that they have been treated unfairly by a healthcare provider. I read this and then I sat back and thought, oh my gosh, well, you know, my privilege comes with me being a white cisgender gay man. But then I thought about it, and I thought about when I was getting PrEP. When I first started on PrEP, I remember talking to my doctor, who was an older white male, straight. And when I asked him about it, and when we talked about it, he looked at me. He kind of stood back on his foot and looked at me and said, "Well, how much sex are you having?" My immediate response was, "Well, why are you shaming me? First of all, because that should not be a thing. And second of all, is if that was coming there, then what else is happening? If that was that simply put out?" And unfortunately, that same incident, I had a massive, massive gout flare-up, and he missed it. He missed the antiviral and the, not antiviral, what's the word I'm looking for? The autoimmune disease that was causing it to get worse than it could ever have been. So, yeah, just my heart is completely going out to all of everyone who is going to their doctor and having a hard time, because if I'm getting it as a cisgender white man, we know it's not great for other people with more marginalized situations. Tonight, my guest, who I'm bringing on, I'm so excited when she'll be with us in just a minute. Where do you sit when you think of church? And where do you sit when you think of LGBTQ church and inclusive church? It's something that we're seeing a lot more of, and we're watching churches work through this very uncomfortable space, and which is kind of beautiful to watch churches realize that they are losing their congregations because less and less people are going to church. However, there are decisions and ways and things that they can do to really invite marginalized and other atypical churchgoers that would not normally be there. There is the guest that we're bringing on in just a little bit is Bex Moy. They are the founder of the House of Our Queer. Now, I really highly suggest going to houseofourqueer.com. There is so much there. It's such a beautiful, beautiful website. There is a page with all these resources that just really allow us to, and this is where the witchy part comes in, allow us to think and feel and grow and be comfortable in the space that is not often provided for us. And so I'm just so honored that this talented, beautiful human being is joining us tonight. And I believe that she is on, but okay. Thank you so much. But recently she brought out a book on called The House of Our Queer, and she's going to tell us about this book and the origin of it and why this is important and why ritual and spirituality and practices really are needed as we continue to go into this wide, beautiful new phase of what church and what communion looks like. Welcome to the show, Bex Moy.
Hi.
Hello. Am I saying your last name right?
It's Moy.
Moy. Well, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to go into the questions that I sent you in just a moment, but tell us a little bit about how you got here. How are you in this place, in this moment, in this time?
Such a beautiful question. I wonder that myself all the time, honestly. So I'm originally from off of Cape Cod. I'm biracial, Chinese and Polish. And so my roots in terms of spirituality are very split. Like myself, I was rooted in Catholicism on my Polish immigrant side, and then very kind of open, spacious Buddhist practices, honoring ancestors on my dad's side. And I went in a winding path. In the short version is I was very dedicated to the Catholic Church as a young person. I left the church after I came out and went to college and was in what I call the pain place for a while. And then I found that there were things about ritual, about spirituality that I really needed as a mental health support that I missed and wanted, and that in some ways were always still doing, just in a new way. And I, for a long time, had that as a journey. I was by profession doing LGBTQ activism full time. And that is a space which needed a lot of my spirit and a lot of my energy. And like many organizers and activists do, I burned out and was really needing something. And that coincided with the 2020 quiet time, the shelter in place time. And I had the spaciousness and the time to really know it was time to move forward with House of Our Queer, with creating something that was looking for other people like me who were queer, but also spiritual and organizing and trying to find that. And so I've been doing that since I started House of Our Queer in 2021. And that's what I've been doing since.
Oh my gosh. I just want to give you a big hug. And just as you're talking, I'm just thinking about how this last year for me, the idea of what ritual means, it really started. I was in the desert at Africa Burn. And from there, this, my spirituality and my growth and movement forward towards enlightenment has been expedited. And so as you're talking, it's just so beautiful. And I'm really relating and vibrating inside so much. So first, what is House of Queer?
Yeah, so House of Our Queer, it started as a project in 2021. It is a book that I also wrote in that year, and it's a growing community. It's all focused on the spiritual well-being of LGBTQ people.
I love that. And sorry for misplacing the word our. I definitely do know that it is in there and it is so important.
No worries. Happens all the time, actually.
As I've been investigating your website, and me and my dear friend Dina, we spent a lot of time on it, especially this afternoon, which I cannot wait to introduce you to her because the two of you need to know each other. I love the five queer principles. Can you tell us them? And also, how did you come up with them? They are so beautiful and such a guiding light.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you. House of Our Queer really has been this labor of love and is both, as I kind of shared, a whole lifetime of spiritual learning and then also really dedicated for the last few years. So the five core principles have really been honed through just the teachings and learnings that I've been doing with House of Our Queer. The first one really being centered on queerness as a blessing. And so that is the first core principle. That is the core of all the things that I put out through House of Our Queer. And that really comes from the fact that I knew if I was going to do anything in the spiritual realm, if I was going to have like reclaimed religious roots as some portion of queer spirituality, which is important to me, I needed everything that came to really stem from a positive affirmation, to knowing that it isn't like, we accept you as queer people. Your queerness has a space here. Your queerness has a month here. Your queerness can coexist, can be tolerated, you know, but really understanding that, you know, for me, queerness has been such a blessing, has been this intuitive practice for myself, that me following my queerness and listening to it was me following myself and listening to myself. And that, you know, is all of the blessings have stemmed from that. And so just kind of understanding that. The other principles are, spiritual health is valuable. Don't reject when you can reclaim. Balance internal and external supports. And of course, growing your own spiritual rituals, making sure folks are doing what's right for them.
Listeners, you couldn't see my arms, but my went way up when she said, why reject when you can reclaim? It's so, so important. I want to go back to the first principle, and I know I did not pre-warn you about this question, but I did tell you that we're going to go wherever this goes. So when someone hears being queer is a blessing, and they're not able to hear that, what do you say to them? Like, what can you give them to give them grace, be gentle on their journey until they can see that it is a blessing?
Absolutely. You know, that is where the offerings and the spiritual frame is for House of Our Queer, where it comes from. And I hope that over just being a part of House of Our Queer, being a part of the spiritual offerings, that they start to see and to feel that over time. But it's absolutely meeting folks where they are. I think if someone, you know, I hope that people understand if they're not able to experience their queerness, their transness as a blessing, it's because we have the structures in our world and so many outside forces saying the opposite. Like, that doesn't come from inside. That comes from structures. That comes from, you know, the like homophobic and transphobic world that we're living in, and the systems that are upholding that, and people that are, you know, under like in taking that into themselves. And so I would hope they'd see that as external.
What else I'm hearing in here too is the, and this has been on my mind a lot, I'm actually publishing something in the morning that's kind of related to this, is when we are going through this journey, we also have the means, we have to let go of those things that we are buried in, you know, in the water, in the societal norms that we don't even realize we're attached to. So we have to let go of these. Any suggestions or any advice when people are at that stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we tend to have more pulling than we do release in terms of our rituals. One of the ways that I practice spirituality with House of Our Queer is to follow the moon and have cycles where the moon is getting smaller and smaller, and then will be dark, and using that as a moment for investigating what you're holding and what to release. And then there are 2 weeks when the moon is getting fuller and fuller, bigger and brighter, and we can build and build with that. That's one example, but I do hope that folks are thinking and investigating their lives. What am I holding that I can release, as well as what am I moving towards? Because we do live in like consumers, you know, world that's like capitalism. It's like, let's go, let's build. And sometimes even when we're talking about our self-worth, our self-love, our spirituality, we can approach it with that same, like, I need to be somewhere else. I need to be bringing something else in. And we're doing that and doing that and doing that without doing the investigation of letting go. So I just hope folks to think of that cycle as well.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And I'm crushing a little bit, just so you know, this gay boy is totally falling for you. Where do I want to go with this? One thing you said before I go on to the questions that I sent you, one thing that I heard also is that as you were talking about your journey, you got to a moment of the dark place, I think is what you said.
The pain place.
The pain place, yes. Oh, that's exactly what I wrote down, the pain place. And in that, and when someone is entering a pain place, because before that in your story, you did mention that you did set up rituals and you did, we forget sometimes when we're in a painful place or a pain place that we already have the tools. How do you help people see that they already, the tools are already within them when they reach a pain place?
I think one thing is just acknowledging that pain places exist, that just like healing, they're not linear, that they will come and they will come again, and that that is just a natural part of being alive, of being in bodies, of growing. You know, I often talk to my friends who are also doing spiritual growth things, and we're like, did I sign up for this? Did I want to be awake? Actually, sometimes like the self-work, it's work, and it's capital W work. And we are like, now that I'm learning this tool, now I'm looking at something else that I am now facing. And it takes a lot more time than I think we would like, maybe, or that is modeled outside, to actually make changes to ourselves, to our spirit, to our bodies. And so just what you mentioned earlier of just hoping that folks are being patient with that, of being patient with the process, of knowing that if they are in it, it won't always be that way. I think of like the tarot card, the wheel, that there is always that when you're up, you might as well appreciate it because it's there. And when you're down, just knowing it won't always be there an offering.
As you were explaining that, I just was giggling inside about how many times that I think, okay, it's time to surrender. And just when I think that I've surrendered enough, nope, you got a little more to go. You're not there yet, Greg. I want to move on to communing. Why is communing important? And because it is, it's so we are creatures that need to commune. So what is communing to you and why is it so important?
Mm-hmm. So when I talk about balancing internal and external tools with House of Our Queer, you know, I feel like external is the commuting part, is thinking about and connecting to something that is bigger than ourselves. Something that one of the reasons I think that is so important is that we are so dependent on control. We want to control our things. And sometimes when we're even approaching a new type of spirituality, it's so that we can control where we're going, what's flowing to us, what we make of it. And, you know, I'm a being who will do that. Every tool I've learned in House of Our Queer that I use, I immediately used it to first try to control. Oh, I learned moon rituals. Like, let me use this to try to like control the relationship I'm in, to make sure that it stays, even if it's done. Like, to release jealousy with the moon instead of actually working on if the relationship is working or not. And so I think, you know, for me, it is very, very important to have a bigger picture, to have something that is in a connection to just wiser, older, larger, more spacious beings than myself. And so when I'm, for me, external tools and communing that I do is really connecting to the universe. I'm very big on astrology and its transits, and the idea that what is happening in the cosmos is also happening here. And so when we are attuned to that, we can be gentler to ourselves. We can be gentler and more patient with others. We can be in a larger flow. And I'm also very big with ancestors and the connection and guidance that I receive from them.
Which all leads to the real reason why we're here. But this is not about that. I've only got a few more minutes with you, so I don't want to... I have a feeling that we could go on a very long tangent about that. I want to get to the book. So this... I apologize. You and I emailed a couple months ago, and I did not look closely enough then because I knew you weren't coming on until now. So I realize this book is there and I'm going to order it. But tell me a little bit about how the book supports the reader.
Thank you. And I will say you can get the book at A Room of One's Own. So if you want to go local, you can grab it there. Highly recommend. The book really weaves my own story, which I do hope is helpful for folks. There's a lot of isolation when it comes to queerness and spirituality, especially folks that have some religious connection. There's a lot of hushing and like this additional closet that we have to be in to say, like, I didn't have those roots and that's not a part of me. If it was, I hate it and I denounce it, while also simultaneously trying to find and concoct new spirituality so that we can feel good about ourselves. And so we can understand, you know, how are we doing in this life? How are we resourcing ourselves and our community? And I talk about myself and that story in the book, and I also really structure it so that each chapter is something that I call a tool in your spiritual toolbox. So there are different tools, everything from moon magic, astrology, and tarot to reclaimed Christian and Buddhist roots. And with each of those chapters, there's a section that says, here's what you can do. And so I hope, in addition to relating and finding things for themselves in my story, I hope that readers will take the what you can do offerings. And they're all for folks who are new to the idea and different ways that they can kind of begin or play around with or understand that tool for themselves.
Oh, it sounds like such a beautiful and magical, it is a magical tool. That's exactly what it is. I'm just repeating your words. So go to Room of One's Own on Atwood and go grab it. I want to go back to rituals and practices because they're very important to you. And I mean, most of us through our success comes because we have rituals and practices in place, even if we don't call them that. First of all, how important is this to you? And the follow-up is that, what are some everyday rituals and what's the difference between everyday rituals and life-changing rituals?
Oh, I love these questions. Yes, I could talk about ritual all day. I do think that's one of the things that being raised Catholic really has helped me with, just understanding that importance and really feeling out of place without it. Rituals really bring intention to our spiritual practices. They stir up energy that can be really transformative and change-making, and they make it really easier for external forces, supports, however you think of it, to flow to us in the moment. And so I believe in them as a container. I practice them as a mental health, a spiritual health support. I think, you know, when it comes to everyday to larger rituals, I'm a very yes and. I think that I start every morning honoring my ancestors on an altar and just giving thanks, a daily morning gratitude practice, something bigger than yourself. I can't begin to explain the benefits that that has had for my life, for myself, for my days, versus waking up and like drinking a coffee and like clamoring to a laptop and just like hoping that wishing the day hadn't yet begun. Like there is just it sounds so small and so simple, but I just those little moments, have really led up to big, huge shifts for me. And then also, yeah, I'm a witch. Like I'm here for it. Me with my folks getting together, healing, the things I can do on my own and the energy I can shift and the healing magic I can offer, just exponentially bigger with in community with everyone. You know, that is why like the riot of pride was possible. Like that's a ritual. We celebrate that again every year to remember that ritual and how powerful it is when we come together and when we do so with intention.
Listeners, I really invite you to consider the next time you're with your friends and something happens that you just think it's coincidence, I invite you to consider it to be the magic of all your collective together, because you're more powerful than you think. We've got just about a minute left. If you want to find Bex, definitely go to houseofourqueer.com. But what would you like to leave us with tonight?
I'm just so grateful to have been here. I would love to, for anyone who's listening who has heard any resonance in my story or who is kind of has their own spiritual seed that is waking up, I just encourage you to do something with that, whether it's taking another moment for it, whether it's thinking a little bit about your roots, whether it is going and finding connections and community and resources. But if you're listening to this, if you're hearing about House of Our Queer, if you're awake while we're awake, you know, it's not for no reason.
Thank you so much for joining me on Queery tonight. Bex, I will get a hold of you very soon. Listeners, it's Wednesday night. Thank you for joining us. I'm Greg Potter. You can find me at ggpotter.com. Let me know if you want to join the 2024 collaboration cohort. And you've been listening to WRT-FM Madison. When you could be glad, could be glad. Sunshine on the street at the parade. But you would rather be in the dark age, just making that sign. Must have taken all night. You just need to take several seats and then try to restore the peace and control your urges to scream about all the people. You wake up to the 8 o'clock buzz to get the week started.
Now, we need the help of a good volunteer to run our on-air operations each Monday.
Sure, that means waking up a little earlier.
To get to the station around 7:30.
But that's why WRT has coffee.
So that you can start your week off right.
WORT is recruiting a volunteer to run the soundboard each week on Monday mornings from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
You'd run all on-air operations for our morning program, The 8 O'Clock Buzz with Brian Standing.
No experience is necessary, but a familiarity with computers and a strong sense of punctuality and reliability are preferred.
For details, call 608-256-2001 and ask to speak with Shali Pittman.
Or head online to WORTFM.org/volunteer to fill out our volunteer application.
I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street.
People assume that as a feminist, I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
I can't help but walk through those blind panels and see people that I don't know. And the next thing I know, I'm crying.
This was the first time in Canada that a national political figure did say that he happened to be gay.
I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man.